Now, new, live, and local, and every weekday from 8 to 9 a.m. This is the show talking about what you want to know, what you need to know, and part of Woof Boom Radio's mission to use our voice to build our community. The all-new Delaware County Today, now on WMUN, the talk of Muncie. Here's your host, Director of News Operations and lead morning anchor, Steve Lindell.
And good morning. It's 8:05 Eastern Time, May 31st. Here's what Muncie, Delaware County is talking about. Hot and humid. IMS, tire, bees, big money, and the history of it all. A new baby cardinal has landed. We'll cover that and a lot more through the hour. Wichita, Kansas is listening, as is the Chicagoland area. I do not see D.C. yet, and Minnesota has not clicked on, though Muncie, Delaware County, Yorktown, and city of Muncie and beyond, certainly the terrestrial listeners are far more vast than our streamers. We appreciate all of you wherever you are. As mentioned, I'm Steve Lindell. Item one today, people are talking about baseball. Item A within that is Taylor University, and they lost. Unfortunately, the amazing season, especially the end part, ends for Taylor men's baseball. The Tuesday afternoon game, number 19, Taylor lost to the RV Lewis Clark State. Score there was 8-3. So Taylor scored the first in the game with a two-run homer at the top of the first inning. That was something. Remember, that was head coach Kyle Gold's 1,000th career game, but ended up losing to Lewis Clark in the end. I think Donna, our neighbor across the fence, Nancy and I had a missed call from Donna late yesterday. I bet she was calling to let us know that Taylor had lost. Her grandson is a freshman pitcher for Taylor University. Cool stuff. Great season. And I don't know what their flight plans are. I imagine maybe today's the day they fly back from Lewiston, Idaho. And I'm sure they would not have wanted to spend their Memorial Day weekend any other way. Congrats to the coach and the players for a memorable season. Item B is baseball still. Ball State yesterday, the coach Maloney and the hero of that championship for the MAC game in studio with our Mark Forster during the Power Hour. I saw a photograph of it. I don't know how he did it. Selfie or really long stick or arm or whatever, but he had a great interview yesterday. And the 4 p.m. hour, that's the everyday sports talk show called The Power Hour with Mark Forster. He's on again today, and we'll update you as to what they're going to do. I think their travel plans for Ball State's Cardinals will be today as they head out for the NCAA first-round game that they'll have on Friday afternoon, as we mentioned yesterday in our program. Item two is the update for the Muncie fire and EMT cheating scandal. Bob Siegel from Channel 13, the one that started this whole investigation after some whistleblowers had given him and them at WTHR a packet of information, which had been given, Bob Siegel disclosed last week in an interview with me on this radio station. Good morning, this is WMUN. The packet was given to him after it had been given to a couple of different, maybe several different agencies that the whistleblowers determined weren't taking action on it quickly enough. So they sent it on to Channel 13. Bob Siegel did his investigation and started this a little more than, I think, 6 weeks ago. That sounds about right, when the first word broke on their 13 investigates. Well, the new information is now this, and I think not surprisingly is a preface to this. The Indiana Board of Firefighting Standards voted Tuesday to permanently revoke all firefighter certifications for Captain Troy Delaney. Troy Delaney is the one that has been implicated by the investigation as orchestrating this cheating scandal that they have been talking about and we've been covering here. Channel 13's article from their website mentions MFD Chief Robert Meade, who wrote Friday afternoon to 13 News, adding that the department will, quote, determine a more definitive disciplinary action, unquote, after June 5. So we're still a few days away from that date. The investigation by the Indiana State Department of Homeland Security determined that Delaney coordinated a cheating scheme with the Muncie Fire Department in which he provided test questions and answers to EMT recruits before they took the National Registry EMT exams. By the way, the statement stands to the National Registry by Delaney denying engaging in improper behavior. In a statement to 13 News, again, this is Bob Siegel reporting late last night with an update to their website, Chief Meade said he will not be recommending further discipline against the eight EMT recruits who allegedly received exam questions and answers from Delaney. Those EMTs have already been disciplined by IDHS, which ordered the EMTs' licenses to be placed on probation for 2 years, that they retake their EMT exams and pay a $100 civil penalty. That's the that is the penalties against the eight that were involved in receiving some or all of those questions and answers. That punishment, by the way, in case you're wondering, does not prevent them from continuing to serve as EMTs while they retake their exams and serve their two-year probations. Muncie's mayor and Fire Merit Commission president told 13 Investigates they did not know about the MFD cheating scheme until they learned about it from 13 News' ongoing investigation. That is the update we have on that. Again, if you want to find out more on that story, Bob Siegel's reporting has been very thorough and in some cases furious, meaning quite hard-hitting and asking and seeking answers to questions, that most of which had been answered, some of which did not quickly, but tip of the cap to him for the reporting on this particular situation, Bob Siegel, from WTHR in Indianapolis. This is WMUN, the talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, free streams, and on Alexa. Play WMUN. If you're curious regarding Alexa, I do not see Minnesota online yet. Hope everything's okay with Mama. Yesterday, Emily Guffey was producing the show. She and I were both, well, a little surprised to have at least two listeners on the stream in Washington, D.C. towards the end of the program. I wondered aloud, as I am now, perhaps it was the president and the vice president of these United States of America. I mean, it was two different IP addresses, so I suppose it's possible. We had not heard from either the Prez or the Veep, or anyone else for that matter, so apparently they're laying low. No one is clicking on from the D.C. area, so they're probably afraid I'm going to mention their IP address or something. Bottom of hour today, we will have John Catino in here again, the director of Delaware County EMA. I asked him to talk this morning about, God forbid, active shooters. What would happen if you were at work or at school or at a mall? You know, you see these things on television, you hear these things on the radio, these news reports. What do you do? What's the best thing to do? So he's going to talk about that. EMA, Emergency Management Agency, they're in charge of, well, keeping us safe and planning ahead. Hopefully, the training part of planning ahead never is needed. Eventually, it usually is in some way, shape, or fashion. That's one of the other items we'll talk to John about today. The amount of and the different kinds of training that they do. In fact, I think they have another trip, or he does, next week to make certain that we are up to speed with safety and security. All right, our local news summary is coming in a moment. Later this hour, bees at the Speedway. Have you heard this story? That's a good one. And big bucks for the drivers, you know, at the Indianapolis 500. We have the 107-year history of all the driver payouts Back to Ray Haroon. You're shrugging your shoulders, going, who's Ray Haroon? The Indy 500 payout's always a story. We'll get to that as we continue with more through the hour on WMUN.
Our first addition to the new WMUN, the talk of Muncie, the all-new Delaware County Today with Steve Lindell.
On Wednesday already, right? May 31st. Tomorrow is the first day of the new month. It's a tradition. Rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. I'll tell that story, I'm sure, again for the millionth time tomorrow. Though no one seems to care. People are talking about it, though. It's also First Thursday Arts Walk tomorrow, and YART, it's a fun word to say. Moth Dan are in charge of all that. And lots of items will be happening between 5 and 8 p.m. in downtown Muncie. Free parking everywhere, lots of good stuff. Art for less than $40, I think. That's the YART motif. Moth Danner is an invited guest, but wasn't able to pull it together for this week. I imagine it's very, very, very busy as they ramp up to one of the two biggest downtown Muncie events of the First Thursday calendar year. All right, let's get the lighter side of news here. We call this the snapshot.
It's May 31st, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Autonomous Vehicle Day. 2017 was a big year for autonomous vehicles as the U.S. Department of Transportation created 10 sites dedicated to developing the technology. The Brookings Institute has said that by 2040, one quarter of all vehicles on the road will be autonomous. Also on this date, in 1955, the U.S. Supreme Court handed down a second ruling in the landmark Brown v. Board of Education decision. The original ruling in 1954 ended racial segregation in public schools. The subsequent ruling ordered all states to desegregate schools with, quote, all deliberate speed. If it's your birthday today, you share it with actor and director Clint Eastwood.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Born in 1930. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
On WMUN's Delaware County Today, in addition to Clint Eastwood, Sharon Gless from Cagney and Lacey is 80. DMC of Run DMC is 59. Who else would DMC be? Brooke Shields, 58. Brooke was in Muncie, low those many years ago. I think it was a Meridian Health Services fundraiser. She is one of the nicest famous people you will ever meet in your life. And what a story she has had and continues to have. News item breaking this morning. Indiana Rep. Jim Lucas has been arrested for operating while intoxicated, OWI, and leaving the scene of a crash. Jim Lucas, 58, of Seymour, Indiana, was booked into the Jackson County Jail at 3:46 in the morning today. So that is from WTHR, just the flash update coming on my screen right now. Indiana Rep. Jim Lucas, 58, of Seymour, booked into Jackson County Jail at about 3:46 this morning. The charge is OWI and leaving the scene of a crash. Now to the rest of our news summary. These stories and more airing on all of our Woof Boom radio stations in East Central Indiana this morning and now on WMUN. If you listen to the Indy 500 Sunday on WLBC, you remember the crash where a tire flew off of Kyle Kirkwood's car. Just missed the grandstands.
No one was hurt as the tire landed on a car parked outside of IMS. However, there was one other fan in the stands who had minor injuries from other flying debris. IndyCar now looking into the incident.
IndyCar will look at it, will determine what really happened. We haven't seen a wheel come off in a long time, but and you know, we have high fences here, but we were very fortunate we didn't have a bad accident.
Series owner Roger Penske, IndyCar, saying that the required wheel tether on Kirkwood's car did not fail. So they're still trying to figure out why the tire flew off of his car. Kirk Darling, Network Indiana.
I'm Peter Killeen. The Madison County Health Department mobile unit will be at Tent City Thursday, June 1st, 1 to 3 p.m. behind Anderson Fire Department, 44 West 5th Street in Anderson. Health screenings will be conducted along with free STI screenings. Peer recovery personnel will be there, and free COVID vaccines will be administered.
Madison County Free Music Fund starts this week. Here's WLBC reporter Brett Busby.
Anderson's extended summer concert series kicks off this Friday at Dickman Park in Anderson Town Center. Toy Factory will be taking to the stage at 7:30, and the release reminds you to take your chairs to relax for the great show. A food truck will be on location, and downtown restaurants and establishments open for food and drink. The concert is free to the public. Brett Busby, WLBC News.
And historically, women tend to live longer than men, but the gap is growing in the U.S. According to CDC, in 2021, life expectancy for women is 79.1, for men, 73.2, a difference of almost 6 years, the largest gap in more than a quarter century. And the threat of fatal and non-fatal drowning injuries in kids remains high. Child drownings continue to serve as the leading cause of unintentional death among children 1 to 4 years old. U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission unveils their annual Drowning and Submersion Report June 8th that includes their latest findings. As we first told you Monday, it's Kentucky against Ball State Baseball Friday at noon in Lexington in the NCAA tournament. You could hear the emotion in the voice of Coach Maloney, Rich Maloney, when I talked to him on WMUN.
Beyond comprehension, Steve. I mean, these boys are amazing. And finally, we broke through. As good as we've been for all these years, we haven't been able to punch the ticket, and we punched it.
I'm Peter Killeen. Hoosier voters will be receiving postcards in the mail from the Secretary of State's Election Division. Mailing's part of a statewide voter list maintenance. The goal, identifying outdated, duplicate, and inaccurate voter registrations to improve the accuracy and the integrity of Indiana's voter registration list. You don't have to do anything in response to receiving a postcard. Andrew Hanna, Chief Deputy in the Madison County Prosecutor's Office, receiving the Up and Coming Lawyer Award. The award presented by Indiana Lawyer Magazine. He was nominated for the honor by Madison Circuit Court Division 6 Judge Mark Dudley and others. Letters of support were submitted by a number of dignitaries as well.
With temperatures going up heading into the summer, the Hoosier State is gearing up for a variety of community activities. Sasha Nixon has more about some upcoming events.
It may seem surprising that we're approaching the first weekend in June, but alas, we are about 6 months into 2023. This weekend, you can visit events like Lebanon's Boone County Summerfest and the Rosedale Strawberry Festival starting Friday. The Earth Day Indiana Festival in Indianapolis and Crashin' for Kids Demolition Derby in Grandview are scheduled for Saturday. And if none of these events are the right fit for you, Fort Wayne's Arab Fest and the Village Art Fair in Winona Lake will be open to the community Saturday and Sunday. Sasha Nixon, Network Indiana.
And here's a bit of Indiana history. This week in 1989, the song Sweet Child O' Mine was re-released in the United Kingdom. That song was co-written by Axl Rose of Lafayette, Indiana. Metro Football League is a youth organization targeted at kids in all Delaware County and city schools. New president Chris France told me yesterday on WMUN's Delaware County Today radio show about Metro Spotlight on their social media.
Well, we just started doing the Metro Spotlight. The idea came from a lady named Kara Jaggers, who is on our board of directors. And basically what we're doing is we're going back and we're recognizing kind of as far back as we can, different players that played in Metro around the community that maybe stood out in high school or maybe moved on to college football or even bigger. Ryan Kerrigan played Metro football, and he obviously played in the pros.
Mackenzie Nash and Brady Hunt were highlighted recently. France says they still need some volunteers and coaches. Sign-ups will be July 31 and August 5 for the Youth Tackle Football League, grades 3 to 6, flag K to 2, and youth cheer now, too, pre-K to 6th grade. If an overweight doctor gives advice, do you listen? Probably not. A study in the International Journal of Obesity found that patients look with disdain at doctors who are overweight or obese. They're seen as less credible. And as we told you, Muncie's Tui Park Pool is open for the season, and there's a free day to plan for June 29 from noon to 5 p.m., sponsored by the Muncie Police Department and Delaware County JDAI. That day, the first 400 youth and families get in for no charge. There's our WMUN Delaware County look at news, our summary throughout East Central Indiana. Guest coming up bottom of hour in the green room right now. One Nugget, Hello Mom, now clicking on in Minnesota and other items listening throughout the world. Muncie, Delaware County, listening on 92.5 FM, 1340 AM, and the free stream is always there. BSU women's volleyball coach Kelly Miller Phillips welcomed girl Palmer Phillips to the world earlier this week. Big sister Marley is reportedly happy. Dad is Justin, by the way, and he's got some problems. He's got a house full of girls. Look out, Justin. But congratulations to Coach Phillips, Miller Phillips, and to Dad and to all involved. Coming up next, John Catino is my guest, talking all things emergency as we work through the hour. This is Delaware County Today on the new WMUN.
Live weekdays from 8 to 9 a.m. with replays later, this is the daily Delaware County Today with Steve Lindell.
And we are live at 8:32 in the morning on this, what is it, May 31. John Catino is my guest from Delaware County Emergency Management Agency. He is the director. Do you have the first day of the month habit of saying rabbit, rabbit, rabbit? Do you even know what that means?
I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay, all right. It's a luck thing. Apparently, it was, well, you know what? Google it. It's really, it's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Right.
It's silly, and it's low stress. So it's something that may, you know, take your mind off the world if you want to. Just Google rabbit, rabbit, rabbit.
Rabbit, got it.
All right, very good. This is May 31, and this is Delaware County Today. I'm Steve Lindell. My guest is John Catino. He is in here to talk all things emergency. I asked him to talk about a couple of subjects today, one of which we'll get to in a moment, active shooter training, or more specifically, what does the general public do if something happens? We'll get to that in a second. There's also the notion of behind the scenes, the training that has to happen all the time for you and your staff and, you know, your volunteers and so many that are involved with an emergency. We'll get to that in just a second. First of all, I think it was yesterday early morning, I heard a whole big bunch of sirens. There was some activity very early in the morning, and you told me, what was that again yesterday?
So yesterday morning, Steve, they had a brush fire or field fire, if you will, at a gravel pit just east of the bypass on McGalliard. Several responding fire departments, Muncie, Liberty, Hamilton Township, Gaston, Yorktown, Parker, Albany, all
big one
fought with this fire yesterday. So obviously if those that were traveling that area saw that McGalliard between the bypass and Country Club was shut down because they just had tankers coming in and out while they fought with that. We were out there ourselves for about 4 hours, and I think they were out there just a little bit longer than we were early in the morning.
And it's dry right now. I mean, I don't think it's drought yet. I haven't heard that from the National Weather Service, but boy, it hadn't rained for a while.
No, and I don't, you know, there's maybe a few chances this afternoon, but I mean, I just very tiny chances. So, yeah, that's one thing to keep in mind when you're, you know, people like to sit outside in the evenings. It's nice, perfect temperature, but be cautious of your fires that you have. Make sure they're contained and a water source close. So.
John, I just thought of something else. It's a little over a month away from the 4th of July.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's probably a little early for fireworks stores and all that in Indiana to open up, but that's always a worry for you guys too, especially when it's dry.
I've noticed that, you know, I was at Menards this past weekend and they have some small fireworks. So, I mean, people can buy that stuff now, but just be cautious if you're letting some of that stuff off. It could catch fire, grass.
Did you save big money? You know,
always.
Okay, they're a sponsor, and we thank for that. WMUN's Delaware County Today. I got all the lines. I'm Steve Lindell. John Catino is my guest. All right, let's talk about active shooter situations. And nobody likes talking about this, but even worse is hearing about it when it transpires. And you know the old line that boy, it didn't seem like it was going to happen in my backyard, in my school, in my mall, whatever, but it can happen anywhere, anytime. So if somebody got into that kind of a situation, what do you do?
So, yeah, going back to what you said, you know, it used to be, you know, if, but now it's not a matter of if, it's when, unfortunately. Those things that we have to be prepared for. So a few things, and I have a couple links that we could give to the listeners, and they can go on there and watch some videos. The key thing that we, you know, people look for is, yeah, I mean, you have to be aware of your surroundings. I mean, walking into a new facility, a new area, a new mall, I mean, as a law enforcement officer of 20 years, you know, that's one thing that I always do. My wife always kind of laughs because I have to sit with my back to the you know, to the wall so I can see the doors. And that's something that we can do as everyday listeners and civilians. We can just be cognizant of where your exits are. We'll see the doors and kind of know that stuff, an escape route for not just an active shooter, but anything else.
It's not, it's
or
not paranoia. It's no, preparation it's just, it, 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 as far as I'm concerned.
It's a prep thing. So, you know, but when it comes to an active shooter, you know, the three components that I think they push for people that are not trained in this situation is run, hide, and fight. So obviously you want to try and get away from the shooting or the activity. So, you know, you're going to try and find an office that's got room for you to move around in, but you can lock the door, barricade the door, essentially hide out, keep your cell phones quiet, turn off any TVs or noisemakers in that room, and you're hiding essentially. Unfortunately, we all like to save people and help people the best we can, but in these situations, sometimes you have to move past those. If you can help them, by all means, absolutely help them. But you want to get away from it all. If you do come outside and there are law enforcement there, you keep your hands where people can see them. Listen to the instructions that the officers are giving you. I know it, you know, you kind of get tunnel vision, but try your best to do what they tell you to do. It's a heated situation, high stress situation. So do your best to keep your hands visible. Listen to their instructions. Do what they say, and then to hide. The last resort, very last resort, especially for individuals that are not trained, is to fight. I mean, if you can, you know, throw things at the suspect, you know, kind of do whatever you can to disorient them, and try and take over if you can. But again, that's very last resort. You know, first thing is you want to get away from it and hide from it and let the law enforcement get there. I mean, these situations, they happen, but they only last for 5-10 minutes maybe.
Yeah,
they're over. They're very quick.
They normally go quickly. So let me see. I'll repeat back. The three options that you should consider are hide, flight, run, and fight, in that order.
But, run, hide, fight.
Okay, gotcha, gotcha. And is there a difference with how you should operate if you were in a mall or a school or a business scenario?
Same three scenarios. I mean, same three options. You just try and get away from it. If you do have a cell phone, I mean, sometimes they say, you know, if you can't talk at the time, it's just as beneficial to leave your phone on the floor, the line open with dispatch so they can listen to hear what's going on. Maybe if you have the opportunity to kind of give a location of some kind, but obviously you don't want to give up your hiding spot either. So just be conscious of that.
Got it. Hopefully nobody ever needs that information that we've just told them, but we want to make sure that they have that. What about those links you said? Where can they find those?
So there are some links. Department of Homeland Security and the FBI have some videos and some slideshows on what to do. So one of them is from the Department of Homeland Security, and it's www.dhs.gov, and they have an active shooter how to respond link. And then on the FBI, it's www.fbi.gov.
Okay.
And they have an active shooter safety resource thing. And there's some videos on there that show just what we spoke about.
Right. John Catino is my guest. This is WMUN's Delaware County Today. I'm Steve Lindell. It's about 8:40 in the morning on May 31st. The other part I'd like to bring our listeners into when we have a guest like you, John, especially from public safety personnel, is the amount of training that goes into the job. In fact, it seems to me, because I've served on the board the advisory boards. I've heard some stories from you and from predecessors, from law enforcement and whatever. But it seems like the training that happens far exceeds the situational, need for that training. In other words, over prepare. Is that a fair way of putting it?
Sure. Absolutely. So speaking of active shooter training, you know, Ball State does a great job of putting on an active shooter training for public safety. And I say public safety because it includes police, fire, EMS, law enforcement, I mean, everything. So they do a great job of doing that every year annually. So they used to do it at Burris. This year, it's coming up in June. They'll have everybody together. And it's a collective training at Yorktown. So everybody in Delaware County, police, fire, EMS, even some from outside of the county, Jay County, they'll all be there training on just that subject.
You're always kind enough, either personally or one of your staff, to let us know at the radio station that that's coming up, because a lot of times, especially nowadays, people might see that training and it looks pretty darn real when you come across it, but tell us when it's coming up so we can share that so we can mitigate anybody freaking out.
Dates for sure.
Please do.
Because it is, they'll do, maybe some blanks and gun blanks, and you'll hear gunfire maybe or something that sounds like it.
And what about hazmat training? I think you have some coming up soon.
So next week we're going to Baltimore. It's an international hazmat conference. We've been to it a couple times. It's a great opportunity to learn new and upcoming things in the hazmat world. So we'll be there for Tuesday through Sunday, and we'll be in classes throughout the day. They have some hands-on training in the evenings. So it's a great class for us to go and kind of pick up all those new tips and tricks, if you will.
And we could talk about weather every time that we talk here, but a time is short. So let them know about your website with links for how to prepare for severe weather and maybe emergency weather radio information forth.
And that's www.dcema.com. There's a lot of good links and information on there for everybody to look at.
All right, John Catino, thanks for coming in always.
Absolutely.
And working for us behind the scenes. Director of the Emergency Management Agency, Delaware County. Coming up with more in a moment on WMUN.
People are talking about the all-new WMUN, the talk of Muncie. And this is the all-new Delaware County Today with Steve Lindell.
Day of May, 8:45 in the morning Eastern Time. So we'll talk about race money before the top of the hour from the Indianapolis 500. But let's tell you a story. We've already covered the tire flying off the car and hitting a car. Didn't hit any people. Earlier we had that in our news summary again. But listen to this behind the scenes at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. There was a swarm of bees that apparently caused a problem. Apparently, the stands right outside of the media center, there was a bee's nest and they were causing trouble to the fans. Now, they were honeybees. So as I guess Mama taught me, hi, Mom, in Minnesota, the beekeepers and so forth would tell you, don't swat at honeybees. Don't freak out as best you can. They're not going to probably bug you, no pun intended. They just want to do their work and get back to the hive and make honey and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, assisted by an IMS employee, Ross Harding is a local beekeeper who is sitting only a few sections away, apparently unaware of the situation. He later would see it in a video on social media, and when he learned about what was going on, he offered the help. Got a big old ladder out, got the big box. You know how the beekeepers have those big boxes that they convinced the bees to go into. Now, long story short, everybody's fine. The bees, I mean. And I don't think anybody was stung. There is no reporting from the Indy Star in that regard. So if you're wondering, where will the bees go next? As part of the Beekeepers of Indiana, I didn't know there was one of those. Harding says he knows of several places around the state the bees could go. He wasn't sure this week where they'd be relocated, but, quote, they're going to go somewhere they're wanted and appreciated, unquote. What do you do if you see a swarm of bees? Harding, the bee guy, says that the swarms seem to be and tend to be temporary. It's natural for bees to swarm in the spring, and they'll be there for as little as 4 minutes, or they could be there for 4 days. But don't panic. Don't swat. You don't need to swat. Now, this is a beekeeper trying to protect bees. It's kind of natural to go, and you flail around or whatever. But anyway, the beekeeper saved the day there at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. This is Delaware County Today, and let's try to save you some money. Now, it all adds up, but how we can help you now with your cell phone bill.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Have you ever opened your cell phone bill and thought you were getting a good deal but realized you're still paying far too much? It's possible to lower your bill by making some tweaks, like opting for auto pay. Most wireless carriers like T-Mobile and Verizon will knock off $5 to $10 from your bill if you sign up for automatic payments. Or you can switch to a prepaid plan or carrier. Prepaid plans from Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T start at around $30 to $40 for a limited amount of data. Can consider changing or removing your cell phone insurance and you'll save anywhere from $80 to $300 annually. Skip the upgrade. Keeping your smartphone for even a year after it's paid off can save you hundreds of dollars. Consider adding one or more lines and split the cost with other people. Cash in on discounts like for students, government workers, among others. And be sure to review your current plan and talk to your provider about additional ways to lower your bill. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
WMUN Muncie is an affiliate of Fox News Radio. News updates before the top of the hour, every hour, all day, every day, because news happens always. Another warning now about the next one that could be even bigger.
This is House Call for Health. Deadlier than COVID-19? The World Health Organization Director General Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus is warning the world needs to get ready for the next global pandemic, as there could be worse pathogens in the future. He tells a recent meeting of the World Health Assembly in Geneva, the threat of another variant emerging that causes new surges of disease and death remains, and the threat of another pathogen emerging with even deadlier potential remains. And he adds, if we don't make the changes that must be made, then who will? And if we do not make them now, then when? When the next pandemic comes knocking, and it will, we must be ready to answer decisively, collectively, and equitably. It's been more than 3 years since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, and WHO's coronavirus dashboard shows there were approximately 766 million cases around the world, with nearly 7 million deaths. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady. Fox News.
WMUN update: Open Door Health Services Community COVID Vax Clinic closed as of May 26. They were still doing that, I think, 3 days a week through May 26. This is WMUN, Delaware County Today. Let's talk big bucks now. Joseph Newgarden won the Indianapolis 500 for the 107th running this past Sunday. His paycheck for he and his team was $3.66 million. Prior to that, Marcus Ericsson won last year. He only won $1,000,043. It went from $1 million to over $3.5 million year to year. Wow. Now, I thought it would be interesting just for fun to go back to the historical listing of winners. You know, for 107 times they've been doing this race. Let me look back here. Hold on. I lost my page. Okay. First time in 1911, the winner was Ray Haroon. And his paycheck for winning the Indianapolis 500 was $14,250. I'd rather watch it than drive the cars. Too scary. All right, an unlikely assignment, but there's some likely good TV highlights among this.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has assigned controversial GOP Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene to periodically preside over debates in the House chamber. Greene is known for her outspoken rhetoric, being barred from speaking at a recent committee hearing after she impugned the integrity of a fellow member, and heckling President Biden at two State of the Union addresses. But House Democrats chortled and scoffed at Greene as she tried to get order in the House chamber as she presided from the dais.
The members are reminded to abide by decorum of the House. The House will be in order.
It is often said on Capitol Hill the presiding officer only has one tool, the gavel, and either the members respect who wields the gavel or they don't. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Interesting. WMUN, Delaware County Today. Here's one: praised and condemned.
Fox on Tech.
The new Twitter under Elon Musk gets both praised and condemned for doing away with the advisory panel used to police tweets for veracity, as it's been learned that the very board was working hand-in-hand with political campaigns and, now to be understood, politicized government agencies to steer the nation's discourse. Musk initiated community notes instead, allowing users to comment on how truthful a post could be. But complaints abounded when a very popular account retweeted a fake photo of a fire at the Pentagon, claiming something blew up. It was likely an AI-generated image. But there hadn't been a way to tag a community note to an image until now. Community notes will also soon be applicable to videos and to multi-image posts, says the company. as well as tweets independent from their images embedded. With Fox on Tech, I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
And on WMUN's Delaware County Today, live on the Talk of Muncie, 92.5 FM, 1340 AM. Again, breaking earlier this hour, Channel 13 reported that overnight, Indiana Rep. Jim Lucas was arrested for OWI and leaving the scene of a crash. I'm looking at the mugshot on the screen right now. We'll follow that and anything and everything else that comes up through the day, through the night. We're news talk, sports talk, and community talk. We're the Talk of Muncie. We're the new WNUN. We thank you for listening, whether in town or on the stream. Enjoy the rest of your final day of May. For Leslie Griffin, my producer, Emily Guffey in the Axia Command Center as well, I'm Steve Lindell. This is WMUN.